Hello, folks, and welcome to the podcast from the Pit Lane, Season 1, Episode 2. And today, we'll be talking about the Bahrain Grand Prix, the first race of this season. So without further ado, let's dive straight into it. And the first incident was, of course, Vettel's grid penalty. So what do you guys think about that?
You know, it was a bit harsh for Vettel. For Vettel, actually, it was under the rules as he broke the yellow flags. And even after, you know, getting a message from his team that you have to, you know, forget about this lap and you have to slow down. But still, he gone for it and still he keep the pace up. So that's why he got the penalty. And yet he wasn't able to, you know, come out in the top 15. Even after not abandoning the lap, he still wasn't able to be on top 15. So that was quite, you know, disappointing.
Exactly. Exactly.
And yeah, so, and it was all because of, you know, who the Lord has been.
Exactly. What are your thoughts on it, Paji?
Yeah, exactly, man. Being an idol and seeing him doing such mistake is like, ah, okay, never mind.
Hard to digest.
22 to go.
Exactly, exactly. Moving on, next heartbreak for Formula One fans. Perez stopping on the track in the formation lap itself with the car issues. Yeah, that was something that had all the fans scared. Exactly. I thought that this guy won't be racing and this is the worst possible start to Red Bull.
Yeah, seriously.
Fortunately, he got the car going. And started from the pit lane.
I was like, yo, what the hell is happening? You know, he was my turbo driver in Fantasy League.
Me too.
Exactly. I thought he was going to be in top 5 and I was like, oh, information lap Perez stopped. What the hell is happening? And then finally, you know, he got the people were trying to get the car out of the track and then he got the power and he said, get out of my way. I'm going back.
Yeah.
And then I finally, at least Perez is still on the race. Exactly. And then finally he came back to pit lane and then he started again. Starting again, like in second GP from the last position.
From the last.
Yeah.
And following
again achieving top 5, not the podium this time, but top 5. So that's amazing.
At least he got to top 5. Yeah.
Following this, finally race starts after 2 formation laps, and what did we get? Turn 3, Mazepin spins out.
You know, I guessed that there was gonna be 2 safety cars in the first race. I actually guessed that. I didn't knew that it was going to be that early.
But I
knew it was going to be because of Mazepin. I definitely knew that the way he was going in FP3 practice and the way he was going in quali, he knew that the car wasn't that fast. Still, he was pushing the car and spinning and exactly. spinning. He is the new exactly. Sabinala king, actually. Now, in the first day, he has become the new king.
Before coming to this podcast, I saw a meme. A random guy plays the 8-pound bat on, you know, first driver retiring from the race would be Mazepin. He received a 72-pound return. He was that confident of Mazepin spinning up.
You know, maybe I should have put that bat too. Maybe I would have been a millionaire by now.
You won't believe a guy. I don't know. He edited the image or so. They have a website on how much time Mazepin spin and what was the last time he spun.
I saw that too.
They have a website working on too.
Even you know, commentators said that the name as Mazepin, not Mazepin. It was trending. Mazepin.
Man,
you know, that's why I wore this t-shirt today. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm on my way. Especially for Mazepin.
Man, but following that, Mick Schumacher also spun. So I think that Haas has pretty big issues. Yeah, so Haas...
The car was oversteering. I'm thinking the car was oversteering a lot because At turn two and turn three, you are at a moderate power. At turn two and turn three, you are at the moderate power. It's just some sort of a chicane. Mm-hmm. You are at a moderate power. When you throw the power down there on the straight, you don't know how the car is going to behave.
Yeah, exactly. But turn three is good, you are going to be, and as was oversteering
that time.
Turn three is hardly it's just a kink on the road, and that guy's burn over there.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, the commentator said the same thing, that the Haas doesn't have the power, you know, to go about all of, you know, go front of the grid. So they should, should do is try to maintain their speed and stay in the race rather than retiring out.
Exactly.
And I think Schumacher and Mazepin both were trying to force, you know, force the car to go beyond their power. So that's why they were spinning too much.
But after this, we got to...
Haas is good. We know Haas is good. We know that the power, there is no power in the cars and so. But at the same time, they have a career dependent on to.
Exactly.
They have their whole career down there. People like us, we just think to get to a Formula One to see Formula One live. But they are actually doing the races and developing their career into same. But in the very first race, spinning out, getting down into bottom five. So that's kind of depressing for them. Not for the team, but for their own race drivers.
Yeah. But after this, of course, Gasly had his front wing broken. And after the safety car restart, we got to see what we had in store. Verstappen versus Lewis Hamilton. The battle had started the safety car. Verstappen going so late after the green flag. He waited till the safety car line to go away from the pack because he knew Lewis Hamilton would be charging. What are your thoughts on this, guys?
Yeah, it was amazing, you know. Mostly,
if you guys have noticed, he just shifted out from the lane. He just directly shifted out from the lane.
Exactly. That's what my point is.
And all 19 cars just followed that way. They tried to overtake from the left-hand side, but they didn't get it. So, I think kudos to Verstappen for that move.
That was smart.
And the move he did was, he didn't, you know, start until the finish line.
Exactly. Yes.
He keep the other cars behind him, not letting them going in front of him.
He knew the straightest. Because he knew that Lewis would pick up the slipstream and he would be down in turn one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, for being so young and still, you know, trying out this something, you boasty strategy, like, it takes a guts, you know. He knew that he had to defend in the end. Till the end, he has to defend the lead. And he did very gratefully.
And not further much down the road, we saw Ferrari versus McLaren. Charles Leclerc giving it absolutely everything against Lando Norris. How good was it?
But this time, from the very first date, we are very much clear that Ferrari is no longer a 2020 car.
Yeah.
They have got
finally.
Pace. Finally, they have got pace, and we are expecting to see the competition between the midfields as of now.
I don't know, I guess. It is very competitive midfield. Haas, McLaren is good, Ferrari is good, Alfa Tauri looks good, and you know.
And I have to apologize to McLaren for, you know, undermining them. Yeah. I thought the power engine was not going to help them, but the way they perform, man. And
even I was expecting Lando to get onto the podium, but okay, no worries. He was in top five.
He's on the way.
He's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, but I gotta say that I overestimated Alpine. I too overestimated, actually. I thought that Alpine's gonna perform great this time, but they haven't, you know, showed anything yet.
So
performing between 10 to 15, I'm guessing.
And after this battle, we saw a rampant Sergio Perez charging through the field. After starting from the pit lane, Man, he was flying through the field.
Exactly, man. Seriously.
You know, he showed that I am not the other second driver, the other second driver, Red Bull. You know, Red Bull had the other. Yeah. You see, people saying there's a curse on second drivers.
Curse on second driver.
On Red Bull, yeah. But he said that no, I'm not let down by that curse. You know, I am a different person. That curse doesn't affect me. You know, I'm gonna show you how I perform. Excellent. And he showed, you know, from being P20, you know, P19 to P20, and going to P5.
That takes something.
Awesome. Some serious business down there.
Yeah.
And after that, exactly at the moment when the race was getting, you know, interesting, the first pit stop were on the table, Star Sports gives ad. Alonso was coming into the pits. Here comes the ad of over a minute. And what? When we come back, Alonso is coming out of the pits. Everyone is going crazy thinking about pit stop. And I'm like, what happened here?
Yeah, you know, I tell you what happened. You know, because I was watching it on Hotstar, so there was no ad.
Lucky guy.
Fortunately for me, there was no ad, so I saw everything. What happened was Alpine, you know, changed the whole strategy of every team. They show that you have to be afraid of us, and we're gonna undercut you, and that's why they pitted Alonso, you know, earlier than everybody else.
Exactly.
And that changed the whole grid. People started thinking, Alpine is pitting so early, we gotta do the same. And then McLaren came, then Ferrari came, then AlphaTauri came. You know, everyone was changing, and the grid was like, oh, Verstappen is on lead, Mercedes on second and third. And then McLaren goes down to A, Stroll goes down to 15. And I was like, oh, the whole grid is changing.
That was the point that tuned back in. Task Force tuned back in. And I was like, what the hell happened here?
Alpine was trying to change the whole grid. They actually did, but the result wasn't in their favors.
Yeah, that was a
bit. Once you end this thing, I'd like to go for in the grid. In the greed of watching Formula One in full HD, we lost something interesting.
Exactly, man. That was
interesting
strategy, to be precise.
I'm having double thoughts about my, you know, HD subscription and switching over to Stars. Hotstar, man.
Yeah, you should switch over to Hotstar. Hotstar doesn't show any ads, you know, in between the race.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about it.
That being said, after the first round of pit stop, we got to see a bit of spicy battle among the newcomers to the teams. That was Aston Martin, Ferrari, and Alpine of Carlos Sainz, Fernando Alonso, and Sebastian Vettel down the main straight. That was something. That was so good to watch.
Exactly. Awesome.
Exactly. That was awesome.
Although Sebastian,
it was
older tires than the latter. But he did give them a lot of, you know, a heavy fight down the main straight at least turn 4. That has to be, you know, praised a lot.
Yeah, he showed that I'm a 4-time world champion. You cannot just overtake me like that.
It's not going to be that easy.
Yeah, it's not going to be that easy. And, you know, Ferrari is showing so much pace right now. I feel like that if 2020 was going to be like that, Sebastian Vettel would have been in the championship competition, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that little bit hurt me, you know, seeing that pace and Aston Martin getting behind Ferrari. It was an amazing battle between for P8, you know, for the 8th position. They were doing amazing.
Yeah.
Alonso and at the, I think on the turn 1, Sainz finally overtake both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alonso was thinking that he is going to overtake Ferrari again. But Aston Martin overtake Alonso. Alpine came out of nowhere.
Ruined his move.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't anticipate that move from Vettel.
He is just struggling with the new car. and back in the season with the older car. He has got some skills. That's why he's a four-time world champion.
There were six world championships in that battle itself. So that was
battle. And and Sainz came out on top of all of them.
He's driving an underestimated Ferrari, to be honest. But following this, we received an intense pit battle between Red Bull and Mercedes. Obviously, both of them trying to undercut each other. But obviously, Mercedes had an upper hand with two drivers on the track against Red Bull's one. But that was pretty awesome. What are your thoughts on this?
Guys, again, Mercedes, okay, you are having a good pit battle, but 10 second, 11 second pit in the very first race.
That was very painful for Bottas. 11 seconds.
You know, that, that reminded me again of Sakhir GP.
I don't know what is up with Bahrain track and Mercedes.
No, not just Bahrain track and Mercedes, Bahrain track and Bottas. Bottas has a kind of a bad luck in that, you know, sandy.
Hamilton's second pit stop was 2.3 seconds. First was 2.9, I guess. Second was 2.3. They improved, but why with Bottas?
They fucked up on Bottas, actually. And that happens, you know, every time. You know, not just Bottas has a bad luck in pit stops. You know, he has to wait. You know, we have seen 4 second, 5 second, 10 second pit stops for Bottas. We haven't seen that kind of pit stop for Hamilton yet.
Exactly. I think they pamper Bottas' pit stop way too much. They are very careful with the tires and especially the front right. They are very cautious putting that on.
Yeah, that's why Bottas said that I don't know why they put me on the defensive mode rather than offensive mode. That's not the way I do things.
Exactly.
But you know, like, talking about the front right, not only Bottas, but there were a lot of few cars, I don't know the number, but there were few cars that they were definitely struggling with the front right to get off. Yeah. There were some serious loads acting onto it and deformation is still there.
No, I don't remember the exact team, but there was a 3.7 second of pit stop.
Front right did have some major load issues.
Actually,
not even Mercedes, but multiple vehicles.
Take off the front right. It is difficult to take off after having gone so much laps on the circuit. Maybe, we're not sure. Again, these guys are super pros when it comes to pit stop. Might be something. But following this incident came Alonso's retirement. Man, that was pretty hard to swallow. He was looking so good off the track. Might have scored points if his brakes would not have failed. So, that was bad.
We can just he didn't have some incident. He stopped. And everything went cool.
That's fortunate.
And then not just the rear brakes, front brakes were, getting hot too. They said, not just front brake was totally failed, but rear brake was totally failed, but front brake was failing too. So that's why they had to, do nothing but to retire him. That's why Alonso agreed that, we should retire because he wasn't getting any grip because of that. You know, he was trying to brake, but the brake was too late. And we would have seen if they didn't retire him, we might have seen the 2020 Bahrain incident.
Yeah.
Again, car getting directly into the...
That was so bad. But after this, in turn one, Vettel struck Stroll. That was very weird. And Sebastian's pit back was...
Ocon, sorry.
Stroll...
He struck Ocon.
Ocon, sorry. My bad. Ocon moved under braking. So it is pretty weird coming from Sebastian. Obviously, after the race, he apologized to Ocon. So yeah, that was pretty good to see. But this is a very strange mistake, again, similar to one he did in Japan, I think, to Max Verstappen, lost front downforce under braking and got back into him. So that was very similar to that incident. So it's not new to Vettel, but pretty weird to see in a new team and got a penalty again. So that's bad.
I think he's a lot of in pressure right now. You know, getting into a new team, he wants to show that I'm still a world champion. You just can't underestimate me. You know, getting the worst season in 2020 for Vettel, and then getting back to new team and trying to show that I am a better driver. I'm a best driver, one of the best drivers, so don't underestimate me. And in that heat of a battle between Alpine, Aston Martin and Sainz, you know, trying to manage his tires and everything, is sometimes they lost the temper. And that's why that happens. It's not a, you know, big deal. Yeah, it's not a big deal, but he should have at least, you know, think about braking more rather than just hitting.
He was actually late braking at T1. Coming back to the battle between Ferrari, Alpine and Aston Martin, at that point as well, when in the very first lap, the two cars overtook him. On the very second lap, he late braked and overtake Alonso.
He was
doing that practicing since race start. He was late braking.
At that time, his tire was almost gone out. You know, the tire was, and then he hadn't any grip. So that's why he had a lockup while braking. And that's why he hit Ocon. So I wouldn't say that was his mistake too. The car locked up and he couldn't do anything. Otherwise, if it hadn't locked up, he might have overtook Ocon. But the penalty, I will say that penalty is a bit harsh because that wasn't his fault. Everyone do the late break. You know, Ricardo is the king of late breaking.
You know,
but the car locks up, he cannot do anything.
Driver of Sebastian Vettel's caliber could have done a lot to avoid that, incident, because he's so experienced. He has 4 championships in his bag. So obviously that was a bit naughty from Seb, I should say. So I don't think that penalty is, you know, over harsh. Penalty is justified. It was his mistake. But, you know, under such pressure conditions, and he was challenging, you know, Esteban Ocon, who is also a pretty good racer, I should say. And he's been in that team. So it's his, you know, second season in that team. So he should be a bit confident. So late braking, good move, but I think he took a bit too much of risk. So yeah, the penalty was just, I think. Moving on to the last laps. Oh my God. Those were some awesome last laps. Verstappen versus Hamilton. That was awesome.
Till the end, I was on my feet. I didn't sit. And I was shouting, and my parents were like, "Why are you shouting? It's just a race." I was like, "You just watch it, and you'll know why I'm shouting." You know, at that turn 4 incident.
For every single time, he complains about the car, and then he wins with the car. He said he didn't have ears. But at the same time, he was defending so well. I don't know why Hamilton haters are still there.
It's just Hamilton things, you know. It's just Hamilton things.
Yeah, no issues. Hamilton has haters more than his lovers. But when it comes to driving skills, kudos to this guy.
Nobody beat him. Nobody can beat him. I'm definitely sure right now, you put Verstappen in Mercedes right now, still he won't be able to beat Lewis Hamilton.
Yes.
The experience that guy have, the way he manages the worn out tires and still wins the race is an amazing thing. You know, the last 5 laps.
We should not forget Silverstone.
Yeah. The 3 tires.
Exactly my point. And you know, the way he manages
his lap. In Silverstone as well, his lap with a worn out tire with 3 tires working, he was faster than the last grid race drivers.
Exactly.
The irony over here is he was defending against Verstappen in Silverstone, and he was defending against
defending against Bahrain. Exactly.
I was just hoping that tire should not burn out over here.
And at the end, you know, did you hear the Verstappen's radio conversation?
Yeah.
He said, "You should have let me go on. I would have, you know, get 5 seconds. I would have, you know, made the gap 5 seconds plus, and I would have happy with the 5 second penalty."
Mm-hmm. It wasn't practical, I guess. Because in case he wouldn't have, you know, able to create a 5 second gap, it would have received stick from FIA. and not to say he would have disobeyed a team's order. So that would have consequences later in the season. So that was smart.
Exactly. And I think that wouldn't be just a 5-second penalty. It would have been my 10-second penalty or might a grade penalty for the next grade two or a points penalty. So
exactly.
Doing that, what I think he should have done was when he slowed down and let Lewis Hamilton pass with the DRS wide open, he should have, when Hamilton was just by beside him, he should have, you know, full throttle, he should have gone full throttle at that time, because Lewis Hamilton had DRS wide open, so he might have gone through against him, but he wouldn't be able to make 1 second gap.
Exactly.
The way he did. And that 1 second gap was crucial for Verstappen, because after that, hot air was coming into his face and then he wasn't able to, you know, make the gap smaller.
Right.
That's why, till the end, Lewis Hamilton was able to defend.
And the thing is, when finally Verstappen got close to Hamilton, he lost it in a corner. The rear slipped out, and I think here goes his opportunity, and now Lewis is going to win the race. I was sure of it. And it was, I think, one lap to go. Verstappen loses the rear, and I think, yeah. So here is it. Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas. A familiar podium from last year.
Yeah.
But
at the end, when it comes to the post-race, podium finisher post-race interview, he was literally crying at that time. Literally, he was crying. Verstappen was literally crying. So that's what the passion comes in. Then that you came P2, but you were still not happy with that podium.
Because he knew that he could have gone for P1.
He was just one lap behind. If he could have got one lap,
Think about Perez not stopping on formation lap. Still got 57 laps, and Verstappen won the race.
We would have got one single lap, and he had taken.
Yeah, exactly. And kudos to Mercedes too, you know, for going the fastest lap. Bottas did got the fastest lap, and they snatched away that point from Verstappen too. So he was angry for that too. You know that I lost one point for fastest lap, and I lost a position too. So that's why he was not happy with being on P2. Yeah.
So anyway, guys, that was first our race done and dusted, an amazing one. We hope that.
Yeah, but we forgot one thing.
What?
We forgot one thing.
What?
Lewis Hamilton break another record of Schumacher.
Yeah, the 5,111 laps led. Goodness me, how many records will this guy break?
There is another record is still on the way. His championship. Don't forget.
Still about 22 races. A lot to come.
Yeah.
A lot of more records to go. Exactly, my man. Exactly. And given the battles on track, if these battles continue for the whole season, we are in store for a pretty awesome season, guys. So,
Great mid battle.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mid battles are amazing. Mid battles are amazing. Talking about Mercedes, talking about McLaren, Alfa Tauri. Yuki Tsunoda was performing well.
He was awesome. Not just great, he was awesome. The way he was from P17 to P8 or 9, I think. P8. He finished P8.
I'm not very much sure with the position. But
yeah, he was P8.
His driver was also
after so many time, a Japanese driver finishing P8, you know, in points. So he's doing great. The way he's, you know, going from turn, the way he was like cruising at many points.
For a rookie though.
And we also should not forget, talking about the last grid battles, Alfa Romeo is performing very well.
Ooh, awesome.
They used to end it up between P15, 16, 20. But this time, they are into 11 to 15.
I think this time they could beat Alpine. The way Alpine is performing, they might be able to beat Alpine.
Yes.
Amazing.
It's amazing. This season is going to be interesting, seriously.
Exactly. The next race is, I think, mid-April in Italy. So that's going to be spicy to see Ferrari in Italy performing good So I'm very excited about that race. And obviously to see this Red Bull versus Mercedes thing and whole McLaren versus Ferrari versus Aston Martin and whole midfield battle. So yeah, let's see how the season pans out. And until then, we'll be back again with the next day's review, preview and a review. So yeah, until then, take care, stay safe, and
yeah,
see you next time.
Yeah, see you next time. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel, Nation Formula One, and follow us on Instagram too.
Yeah, peace out.
Have a great day.